ओम शांति। 9th July 2018 मंडे। टुडेज ब्लेसिंग इज मे यू बी अ वर्ल्ड ट्रांसफॉर्मर हु बर्न्स द रबिश ऑफ द वर्ल्ड विद द फायर ऑफ योगा। इट्स ओनली विद द फायर ऑफ योगा दैट इज विद द पावर ऑफ द एलिवेटेड थॉट्स and the fire of love that you can burn the rubbish of impurity in a memorial of the goddesses. It is portrayed that they burnt the devilish powers with fire. That memorial is of the present time. So first of all, become the form of fire, Jwala Swarup, and burn any devilish sanskars and nature and become completely pure, and you will then be able to burn the rubbish of the world with yoga and the fire of purity and become an instrument for world transformation. So Baba is telling, it's only with the fire of yoga that you can burn the impurity. And the fire of yoga includes the power of elevated thoughts, sankalpa shakti and lagan, and the fire of love. And in its memorial is shown goddesses. What all the goddesses do? They burn the devilish powers with fire, and this is the memorial yadgar of the present time. So become the form of fire and burn any devilish sanskars and nature and become completely pure, and then you will be able to burn the rubbish of the world with yoga and fire of purity and become instrument for world transformation. In all the Indian scriptures, all the goddesses have shown to have burnt different devils. When it is not possible for the gods or demigods to fight those demoniac powers, it is always the devis who come in between. So it is shown, whether in Devi Mahatmya or in Devi Bhagavatam or in many such scriptures, that the Adi Shakti, the Parashakti, takes the form and she comes and she intervenes. Because all these demons, all these asuras, rakshas or dana, they do lot of penance and then they propitiate certain god and they acquire certain boon, and with that boon they start creating havoc on earth. And it is always shown that those gods or demigods, they are not capable of containing these demons. So at such a time, Devi usually takes, the Adi Shakti usually takes a form, and huge list is there, Rakta Bij and that Shamba Nishumba and Chanda and Mund and Mahishasur and Banasur and so on and so forth. These all the demons, they had done lot of tapasyas, and as a result of that tapasya they acquired that boon, mostly from Brahma or mostly from Bholenath, from Shankar. So they got easily pleased, and once the boon is acquired, then they started their unrighteous activities on earth. So all these goddesses, they descend on earth, and by different ways they kill these demons. Sometimes they assume a very ferocious forms, For example, Chandi. Chandi is a combined form of Lakshmi and Kali and Saraswati. These three combine together and they appear, and she appears in the form of Chandi. So all these examples are given where they assume very fiery form and all those demons are killed with the power of their fire. Or it is shown that from their eyes some balls of fire are going out and burning to ashes all those demons. So Baba is saying here, this is your memorial, because what you do is with the fire of yoga, you destroy all the rubbish of impurity from the face of this planet. So it is this fire that you have now, the fire of yoga. With this you burn the impurity of the world. But in this process, there is something in between which you have to do. And that is to burn the impurity of sanskar and swabhav. Once you burn this impurity, then only you can establish purity on this planet. Without burning the impurity which is within you, without burning the rubbish which is within you, unless and until that garbage is within us, we cannot establish purity on this, on earth. So what we have to do is to create this fire of yoga. And Baba said, there are, what you have to do for this creation of fire of yoga is fire of elevated thoughts, Srishta Sankalp, and love, fire of love, Lagan Ki Shakti. Create these two things within, and with these you can burn the sanskar and swabhav and create purity in the world. So first destroy the purity which is within, and then only you are able to destroy the impurity which is outside. In yesterday's Murli, Baba said, angels have five characteristics. What are they? You have given up this body and you have assumed the angelic form, and this angelic form has got five characteristics. What are they? There is no disease, no ailment, no malady. So disease-free body. One is that. Second, what are the five characteristics Baba told about angel? You have given up this old body, this dilapidated body, this last birth body, and you have got that body. So you have not renounced anything. If suppose somebody said that I have renounced this, I have renounced this, even such a thought arises, even such a sankalp arises in the mind or in the dream, you are in fact curtailing your line of fortune. So first is, this angelic body is without any disease. Second, it is without any swabhav sanskar. It is not containing those devilish sanskars. So this body is free from, this form is free from all the devilish or hellish sanskar. Third, without any attachment. And third, no fickleness of the mind. The mind is not wavering. The unwavering mind is of an angel. The undisturbed, unperturbed mind. So that is the characteristics. That fickleness, chanchalta, that nimbleness which is there, is not there in angel. And wandering of the intellect. And relationships of the body. Because Baba said, these relationships of the body, they deceive you so many times. They catch you. You are caught in those temptations or in those attachments. And they are filled of sorrow. They snatch away your peace and your happiness. So these are some of the things about relationships. So such relations of the body are not there in the angel. So This is a practice of yoga where we feel that I am an angel and my body, or I am free from all the diseases, all the maladies, all the ailments of the body. I am free from even an iota of sanskar of previous life. This is a new life. We are dvij, twice born. It's written in Bible so beautifully. Those who are born once, they die twice. Those who are born twice, die once. Those who are born only once, they die twice. How? How? Because those who are born only once, their body is born, but they have never taken rebirth. So, they die twice. First, throughout the life, by anxieties, by worries, by tensions. And second, they die at the time of death. Those who are born twice means, first, their body is born, and second, a new spiritual birth. They die only once at the time of death. So, here, I am an angel, a body which is free from disease. I am an angel who is not having even an iota of previous birth, sabhav and sanskar. I am an angel who is free from all the relationships of the body, because these relationships have more often than not hoodwinked the soul, have deceived us time and again. And then this nimbleness of mind, this fickleness of the mind, this wavering nature of the mind, or this wandering of the intellect, all these things are not there in angel. So create the fire of yoga, create the fire of love, create the fire of elevated thoughts. So it is the elevated thoughts which has been compared to fire. It's the love of God, it is the Paramatma Prem, it is the God's love that is also has taken the form of fire. So with the fire of God's love, with the fire of elevated thoughts, and with the fire of yoga, with these three fire, you can burn the rubbish, the impurity, those previous sanskars, those who come out of the blue and destroy the inner stage. So once the inner rubbish, the garbage, the dirt, the dust, everything is destroyed, and then only you can hope, or you can destroy the impurity which is prevailing in the world. So how to create this fire of yoga, fire of elevated thoughts, and fire of God's love? What is the answer? First we will take the fire of elevated thoughts, Sreshta Sankalp. Create the fire. You can take the elevated thoughts from Murlis, but then they do not become fire. If you take one statement from anywhere, that should assume the form of fire, means something that burns, something which is ferocious, something which has a tendency to burn everything to ashes. For such thing, you need deep churning. For creating the fire of elevated thoughts, it is not that you keep on reading the whole book. There are many people who say that we have finished reading all the Avyakta Murlis from 69 till now. It's good that they have finished, but what about the depth? What about the understanding? What about the retention? How much you have committed to memory? Merely reading is not useful. Reading is just one step, but there is something more. Reading can make you a logician, but what about the fire? Fire will be generated only with deep journey. Fire will be generated only with contemplation. Fire will be generated only with when you go in silence and when you go in solitude. Go incognito, underground, and go deep within, and then bring out the pearls. Take one statement, just one statement, any statement from the Murli. Just one line. We don't need hordes of things. We don't need points galore. But we need one powerful statement. First of all, try to revise it, remember it, commit to memory, memorize it, and then keep the book aside. And now sit in silence. And then think about it. See it in words of fire written on the sky, and then you visualize it, and then think about it, and then become bodiless, go out of this body and become one with that thought. If you study the lives of all the greatest poets of this world, how did they compose the deepest of the poetries? They composed all the poetries in bodiless stage. All the poetries, the biggest, the most charming poetries, the most beautiful poetries, they were composed in the form of bodiless stage. That's why they have such a charm within them, such charisma, such power, that centuries have passed and yet they are Kaljayi. Such creation or art of work is possible only in the bodiless stage. So take up one point, churn it, go deep within, play with it. In today's Murli also Baba said, Sakar Murli, Raman, take the points of knowledge and let them percolate, let them interpenetrate the grey matters, let them go deep within the cortex, let them become the part of your own thinking, and then the fire will be generated. Otherwise fire is not generated. Otherwise you can remember things, but then there are memory masters in the world. Are they having the fire of elevated thoughts? No. You can become a logician at least, but not a great yogi. For a yogi, fire is needed. One is fire of elevated thoughts. Second is fire of yoga. To do yoga and to have bodiless stage at Amrit Vela or evening yoga or at night or in between, that is good. But the fire of yoga means absolute detachment from the body. When the body is dead and soul goes out, and soul is moving, just as Baba said in yesterday's Murli, assume the Farishta form and go wherever what is needed. Sakash, people need Sakash. So you go there and they will feel Shaktiya Agai. They should feel that the powers have come, the avatars have descended on earth. So for that realization, for giving such sakshatkar, divine visions to the soul, our stage of mind, our stage of the yoga should be very high, and it should be in the form of fire. So convert yoga into fire. Fire means something that burns. Whatever you put in the fire, that is reduced. Its size is reduced. So such Agni Kund or fire should be created within, and then with that fire we can burn all the rubbish. So improve the quality of yoga. And for improve the quality of yoga, the quality of purity should increase. Slightest impurity and the yoga suffers. Slightest impurity which has come through mouth, through ears, through any of the senses, that will reduce the impurity. The second is power of fire of yoga. Third is power of God's love. What is that? Yesterday's entire Murli was on God's love, on Paramatma Prem. So that love of God should assume the form of fire. When the Uddhava, who was full of knowledge, and Shri Krishna tells him, when he senses that Uddhava is suffering from ego of knowledge, he says to him, you go and go to Gokul and teach those gopis some jnana, some Brahma Vidya, because those gopis have lost this knowledge. So with great pride and arrogance, he sits in the boat and he crosses the Yamuna, and once he goes on the other bank of Yamuna, he starts feeling heat, because he already had that heat of knowledge But here there is a fire of love. All the gopis are lost in love of Krishna. They were not ordinary people. They were the highest stage of yoga. In that highest hoj, because the love is the greatest yoga. Love is the supreme yoga. Param yog. So, when he comes there and he sees all these gopis are dancing and singing and swinging and lost in the love of Krishna, and they are saying, and somebody is sporting Krishna, and somebody is acting like Krishna, and somebody is saying, one of the gopis is saying that he played here, he played there, he was with me here. And he starts explaining them, oh, what are you doing? He is not ordinary, he is Parabrahma, he has descended on the earth. He is not what you are thinking as ordinary person. But those gopis are not ready to listen. They used to say that he used to play with him, with us here. He did all the things with here. He spends about 6 months in that Vrindavan, and at last he kneels down. At last he accepts defeat. At last his ego is vanquished. And he says that you are the greatest. So here was the fire of knowledge and there was the fire of love. Here was the logic and they were mystics. He was the philosopher and they were lovers. So in the end, love is the supreme. All the logics, everything falls down. It is the love which is the greatest thing in the world. If you study the lives of all the saints, they had that greatest love for God. They were ordinary thinkers. They were poor mathematicians. According to the world, they were buddhus. They were fools because they did not understand the worldly matters so much. It's said in the life of Guru Nanak when he was very small and his father had tried hard that he should become a worldly person, but he couldn't because his all mind was lost in his father sent him and told him to do agriculture, do farming. But in the farming also, he was not doing that farming, he was doing some other mental farming. How the seeds are sown in the land. He was thinking and churning all about this. So it was very difficult for him. If you study the life of Ramakrishna, he was made as a temple priest. But in spite of doing according to the ceremonials, he would get lost in ecstasy. Time and often. So many times it happened. So these people, even all for that matter, they never became worldly people because their mind were is attracted to something afar from this world. Something which is not visible, something which is not sakar, something which is absolutely away and which those ordinary mortals could not understand or see or which was not palpable to them. They felt which is impalpable. They saw which is invisible. They understood which is unfathomable. So, like this. So, the arena of love is entirely different. Where everything falls down. There is a very comical story. A man wins a lottery. Okay? So, everybody is so happy. Though all villagers come to congratulate him. Oh, you have won such a good lottery. How did you do that? How do you select that number? And they say, how do you select this 69 number for your lottery? How this lucky number came? So he says, I dreamt once. And in my dream, I saw dancers. They were in seven lines. Dancing girls were there. And they were standing in seven lines. So, and each line there were seven dancers. So that's how I calculated. 7 sevens are 69. So, some of the, just as you objected, one of the audience says, this is wrong. How can you say that 7 into 7, 49? 7 into 7, 69. 7 into 7 is 49. Because this man is saying that how did the figure 69 came? Everybody asks. He says, I saw a dream in that this magical figure of 69 appeared. Pragat. It came in front of me. And how it came? because I saw the dream and the dancing girls in 7 lines, and this is how I calculated 7 into 7 69. But somebody objects and says, you are wrong, 7 into 7 is 49. So this man says, who has won the lottery, you or me? You become the mathematician. You keep on doing the calculations. I have won the lottery, not you. So, all those who win the godly lottery, they are unconcerned with calculations. They have nothing to do with mathematics. They have nothing to do with logic. They have nothing to do with the reasoning. You keep on reasoning whether the Hanuman was asked, tell us on what day Ram has taken birth. Hanuman says, I don't know when Ram has taken birth. I have nothing to do even whether the Ram existed or not. What were the nakshatra and graha and all those things? I have nothing to. I am only lost in his love. So this is the stage. Meera, if somebody comes and Meera is told, this man Krishna, historically he never existed. She has nothing to do with it. Because she is lost in the love of Krishna. Her world is a world of love. Her world is not a world of logic or reasoning. This is known as prema bhakti. So in prema bhakti, all logic, all reasoning, everything is gone. You get catapulted in the world of love. And in the world of love only, this ego falls down. Otherwise, logic creates ego. You become jnani. And the very fact that I am jnani is the China wall which is created between you and God. And in godly love, in prem bhakti, this China wall is fallen. This China wall of Chinese wall of ego. It's a very big wall. So create the fire of elevated thoughts, create the fire of yoga, and create the fire of God's love. And with that fire, burn the impurity, burn the contamination, burn all the adulteration, the interpolation, all the debris, all the remains, all the unwanted, all the unnecessary, everything which has come in, remove that, burn that, and then only you can establish, create purity in the world. Om Shanti.